Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
You know, I've been told all my life that God answers prayer, and He does. But it's only from the context that we think that prayer is basically petitions that are desperate. And so then finally, if we whine long enough, God will say, do something. It's kind of like your parents, you kind of bring them, okay, fine, I'll do it, okay. But you know what I found out? God answers faith. Yes. Believe what you pray for when you ask, and you shall receive it. And ask according to His will, and it shall be granted unto you. Those are scriptures that go along. But I want to tell you more about this. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, but faith is often dismantled when we focus on our losses or our inability to remain faithful in the midst of trials and temptations. Our faith falls apart. Why should God answer my prayer after what I did or after what I just said or after what I promised not to do? What about this? Returning to the slavery from which we have been once delivered is not an option to be considered. When you talk about deliverance, you say, well, you know, I was delivered from this and I was delivered from that and lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it was. Well, how come you're still doing it? Wasn't it good enough? I'm going to show you through the Word of God, and not to condemn anyone, but there's some things that we'll need to learn today. First thing is the devil will use his most enticing tactic of delaying our deliverance until another time. What that means is some of you who need to accept the Lord or need to give your life over to Jesus, yeah, I know I need to do that, but I'm just not ready right now. You know, the biggest lie you'll ever accept is that you have another day on this planet. That's a lie. You tell me, I'm going to be alive tomorrow, so I'll do it tomorrow. Your next breath is not guaranteed to you. But the lie that he can perpetuate is because one of the things that lies to us is because we're young. Well, I can say I was once young and now I'm old. But I'll tell you, I wouldn't go back if you paid me. I've lived here 69 years and honey, I'm on my way out. But I tell you, I'm going out in a blaze of glory. But thank you very much. But the deal is, some of you who haven't reached 69 yet say, you know, I'm going to be like Pastor. I'm going to get to 89. You don't know whether you're going to get across the street. Okay. Let me help you with that. We live and we move and we have our being because of what Jesus said. Let me move on. Number two, bondage to former strongholds and chains do not need to be a source of fear. Many people will stay in their bondage because they're afraid to be free. Well, what would I do if I didn't have this particular thing? I'll help you with that in just a moment. Number three, surrendering to Jesus moment by moment is allowing the Holy Spirit His proper place in governing and protecting our life. Do you know something? We only live our life moment by moment. It's the next breath. But you know, every breath we take can be because of what Jesus is doing. Amen? Well, let's get into this. We must allow the light of the Lord to expose the darkness of our circumstances. Back into verse 7, it says, and behold, an angel stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. Do you know God wants to shine the light in your prison? In your prison of circumstances. The Bible says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Have you ever gone to a club and the lights were full bright? Seriously. All the lights are on, they go, honey, it's going to be dark, and you're going to find the darkest corner. Because your deeds is evil. Somebody get a flashlight over here. Put that flashlight. What's wrong with you? Put that down. God wants to shine the light in that dark place. And the Bible says, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Two things I see here. First of all, the light comes, and Jesus has to take something, and he has to, you know, and the angel had to go, hey, wake up. Sometimes God has to do something to give you a little jab to say, you know, something else is going on in this world. Because some of us have been anesthetized, or we're in this stupor, or we're just kind of in this place of complacency that God has to kind of give us a little jolt. Wake up. I say this, I've said this a lot this last couple of years, and I'll say it again. We can get used to anything. Some of you are used to being pitiful. I'm just pitiful in Jesus' name. I'm just pitiful. I'm Miss Pitiful, Mr. Pitiful, and my little pitiful kids, little pitifullings, or pitifullettes, whichever. But God will use a divine means to expose the darkness of circumstances in our lives that hold us in bondage. The devil is the father of darkness. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The light of the Holy Spirit will expose every darkness and evil deed that has kept us in bondage. The Holy Spirit has done his job of exposing your darkness. Now, what are you going to do to deal with it? Here's the worst thing you can tell me. I know I shouldn't. No, if you knew it, you wouldn't be doing it. What you know is what you're doing. It's not this euphoric gas. Oh, my goodness, what am I doing? No. Either that or you're crazy. And nobody going to be like, I'm just car can crazy. God bless me. Amen, Jesus. No, baby. You need to wake up. We must allow the power and the presence of the Lord to stand with us to reveal by revealing the darkness that is all around us. But you know, what does the Bible say about you? You are the light of the world. That wherever you go, if Jesus is shining within you, the light within you will expose the darkness in the world. Now, here's the other part. Can darkness overcome light? No. I don't care how dark it gets in this particular room. All I have to do is strike a match, light a candle, and all of a sudden the darkness has to leave. I ain't going nowhere. Honey, you don't have a choice. Pack up and go. So all the darkness in your life, if you allow the light of Jesus to come in, it has to go. There is no battle there. It has to go. All right, we are often chained between doubt and unbelief that will keep us from freedom. Note what the Bible says, that Peter, in the verse above that, says, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping bound with two chains between two soldiers. You know who the soldiers were? My name's doubt. My friend over here, unbelief, has got the other side. And as long as you allow those two culprits to hold your life, I guarantee you will get nowhere. That's their job, is to hold you in prison of your circumstances. Well, Paul's chained between these two guards, monitoring your every move. Doubt and unbelief go back and forth. If you're not doubting, you're unbelieving. If you're not unbelieving, you're doubting. Doesn't matter, you don't go anywhere. How many times has God presented you an opportunity or the option for you to be break free? He said, I don't think I can do that. Or that's never been done before. Do you know the Bible is full of things that have never been done before? And one of the most powerful things that had never been done before was Jesus rose from the grave. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Never been done before, but he did. That same power lives in you today. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body to do things you've never done before. Come on, work with me, folks, because that's how it works. Oh, my goodness. You may never get the picnic. I don't know. God sent supernatural power to stand by him. Now, I'm not one of these type of people that are looking, here an angel, there an angel, everywhere an angel, angel. Some of you are weird. I just see angels all the time. Well, there's another one. Oops, there she goes again. Good luck with that, okay? But, let me put this little butt there. Don't discount God doing supernatural things that you can't figure out. Leave your little playbook behind, because God's about to do a new thing in your life. Some of you need to take the image of what God is trying to give you, of you totally breaking free, because you have this image in your mind that I'll never be free from this. I'll always be a slave. That is a lie from the pit of hell. But as long as you believe it, that's what's going to be, your life's going to look like. So here's the deal. God said supernatural power, the light of the Spirit, exposed the darkness of the prison. And Peter had to be physically prompted into action. Some of you, I want to walk up to you and just slap you. I might do that today. Wake up! Haven't you had enough? Lord, have mercy. I'm sorry. I lost my cool there for a moment. But here's the deal. The command of the Lord required that Peter obey. In other words, God will often command us to do things that we may think that we're not able to do. Do you know what miracles look like? Jesus is at the Pool of Bethesda and been there for 38 long years. Angel will come trouble the waters. By the time he's ready to step in there, somebody steps in ahead of him. And Jesus comes along and he asks him, do you want to get well? He didn't answer the question. And he says, every time I start to step in the pool, somebody gets in there ahead of me. He didn't ask you how many people step in the pool ahead of you. He asked you, do you want to be well? Amen. Will you pay attention and say, you know, repeat the question if you have to. Do you want to get well? Anybody want to get well today? Yeah. Anybody want to leave your past behind you? Raise your hand. Well, then here's a question. It says, do you want to get well? And you know what Jesus says? I want you to do something you have never done before. You've been here for 38 years. You've religiously come here for 38 years. You've been disappointed for 30 years. I want you to take up your bed that you've brought here for 38 years, take it up and go home. Really? When you start arguing with Jesus, the blessing leaves. Jesus will never ask you to do something he hasn't equipped you already to do. Come on. Note he didn't say, take up your bed and do the best you can to try to walk. Figure this out. Been there for 38 years, probably not too good at it. Don't evaluate what God has told you based upon what you think you're able to do. Build it upon what he told you to do. Well, I feel faith rising in somebody's spirit right now. You're going to do something you've never done before. Watch it happen. So the choir, it was to obey. Obedience to the commands of the Lord will break off your chains. We must transition from being a prisoner to someone who has been set free. I have not been in jail except as a guest. What does that mean? That when I went in there, they were going to let me back out. I was a guest. I'll let you know that. Did I ever deserve to go? I probably should have been in jail because I didn't always obey the speed limit. I mean, I like to put pedals in the metal. I mean, I like to hear the tire scream. I'm going to tell you, I'm repenting, right? I'm confessing. Okay. Should have been in jail, but I didn't go. But some of us have jail mentality. And jail mentality is this, that we're used to being under the oppression and of the particular thing, it's all scripted. In jail, you don't have to worry about nothing. They're going to tell you what time to get up, what time you're going to have dinner. They're going to tell you what you're going to have for dinner. You know, it's all scripted. But the deal is that God wants to take you from that particular place to something that's totally brand new. We must transition from being a prisoner to be someone who's been set free. We must be willing to follow the instructions that will lead us to freedom. Supernatural intervention is available to those who will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, which looks like this. The doors that were once closed will be open. Look at what the Bible does here. Here's what the angel says. He says, put on your garment and follow me. And he went out, and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. But when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came into the iron gates and that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. I want to tell you this. God will take you through a supernatural experience. But at some point, he will leave you and say, you need to walk this thing out. God will take you to a particular point that you must walk by faith and no longer by sight. When you see the angel, everything's okay, but all of a sudden the angel's gone. You must still keep on walking. He said, whoo, I don't know what this is. Go back into prison. Because we'll go back to what's familiar. So I shouldn't be out here. They're probably looking everywhere for me. Seriously? Really? And that's really what we do. We go back to what's comfortable. God sets you free, and next thing you know, I know Jesus set me free, but you know, I just don't feel comfortable. I'm going to help you with this. The doors that were once closed are open. Listen to me carefully. Some of you who have been in that particular place where the door has been closed in your face, God's opening it today, and you're going to see things totally different than you've ever seen them before. Because of your myopic approach, everything's in front of you. You haven't been able to see in front of you. But God's moving. All of a sudden, it's a whole new world. I can see that God, I have faith to believe that God's able to do exceedingly above what I can ask, think, or even imagine. God is opening doors in the prison of your mind to the place where God has made a way for you that seemingly there was no way. Anybody believe that today? Because that's your experience. Well, there's more. Look at this. When chains are broken off, it takes some time to realize the magnitude of our deliverance. Can I humanize this? I don't know whether you're like me, but, you know, some people have a habit, you know, of living in poverty habits. If you never had any money, and please do not take this wrong. And all of a sudden someone gives you a whole lot of money, or you have a devil in me, you still run into Kmart for the blue light special. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Blue Light Special, Kmart. If you haven't been there, I don't know whether they still do them or not. How do I know? I've been there. But we have this mentality because that's the only thing that we know, so we go back to do what we know. But God says, I've given you an open door of freedom to venture into places that you thought you were never worthy to be a part of. Well, now it gets really heavy, so I hope you're ready for this. We must be ready to move beyond the links of the chains that have kept us in bondage. I need to be very careful with this particular portion of the scripture because I do not want to put condemnation on anyone. I'm just using this particular malady or disease as an illustration. It is not to put down anyone who's ever suffered from it. But the reason why I'm using it is because it is very, very pictorially and understood by people who have certain types of disorders. So I'm giving my disclaimer first. Bulimia nervosa is one of the diseases that happens to people where they find themselves doing two things, binging and purging. That you eat and eat and eat and eat, but then you realize what you've done, and then you find some way to purge everything that you've eaten. Now, the reason why I'm saying this, I'm going to apply it to something that will help you to understand why I use that. Some of the sensitive things we don't talk about much. But I'm going to talk about, I opened this door last week. Guilt and shame over sexual sin. Ooh, Lord, he didn't say it in church. Yeah, I did. Some of you are sexual bingers. Now, before you realize, everybody look straight ahead. Don't let me look around. Look straight ahead. Look at me. I'll save you, okay? It doesn't mean not you necessarily find someone sexually, but you may be hooked on the internet. You may be hooked on going to the porn shop, you know, buying all types of little things that they sell. I'm going there, folks. You might as well get ready because we adults in here, you're going to learn some things. Kids, plug your ears, okay? But the deal is this. We'll binge on these things and then all of a sudden, oh, what have I done? Then so we feel like the way we can get this out of our mind, we start reading books out of the Bible. We read books from the Christian what a call thing. We feel that that's the way we purge that out of our mind. We think that we can medicate ourselves in out of that particular situation by taking the word of God, just baptizing myself in scripture. We never got to the heart of the problem. So we binge and we purge. We binge and we purge. You'll hear a message like this, oh my gosh, I gotta go home. I gotta cut off the internet. I gotta cut off all this type of thing. You cut all this stuff on, but honey, you call up, is there a special on? Can I get the 3-for-1 for 6 months? I know how we do. Jesus help us. But here's how it works. The devil will lead you into temptation and abandon you. Furthermore, it happens. Guilt over sin is a product of condemnation rooted in lust and lack of self-control. Many of you will come to an altar and say, oh God, I'll never do that again. I'll purge my life. I'm going to live a life of purity. If you're going to cry and carry on, and you know what? Before the night is over, it happens again. Stick around. There's a remedy. Shame is a tool of the devil that will make us feel that we will never be worthy of God's love. That's why we go back. God will never love a person like you with your issues, your problems, this type of thing. Are you kidding me? Because remember what you did and what you're doing? Let me take you to number two, pain and emotional suffering over mistreatment and abuse. When you talk about bondage, there's two things you can associate that with: wounds and trauma. Some of you have been deeply, deeply wounded in your life. And maybe some of you can sit here and you can, without even activating it, you can go back to a traumatic experience that changed your life forever and you've never forgotten it. And that's what keeps you chained to the fact of to your past, that you feel like you can never move on from what's happened to you. And I need to tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. See, how does that work? Pain is a divine indicator of our need for a closer intervention with Jesus, because Jesus can, he knows all the sufferings, all the pain. He's already gone to the cross for everything you've experienced, and by his stripes you are healed. Whew. Wow. Emotional suffering must be carried to the cross, listen to me this, daily. Paul says, I die daily. Anytime the devil throws that up in my face, I resolve that to be dead indeed unto sin. I resolve I am no longer in slavery to that anymore. I've been set free. I no longer have to live in that place anymore. I have moved. I've got a new address. And do not forward any more of that mail. I move, devil, and there's no forwarding address. Keep all the trash. You know what I found out? We moved recently. The postal department does not forward junk mail. That's a fact. All your little catalogs, all your other type of stuff. Mm-mm. I said, now show you how crazy I am. I'm a Macy's fan, right? So I went down to Macy's. I said, you know, I moved to my house 2 months ago, and I said, I haven't got my Macy's junk mail. I was upset because, you know, those little coupons, $20 off. That, you know what I'm talking about. Of course, Macy's got a sale every weekend. You all know that. But I'm up there. So I went down there. I went to the department. I said, why don't I get my junk mail? Then I asked the postman. He said, we don't forward junk mail. See, you're looking for something that you're not entitled to, because God, if you really are serious, God said, no more junk mail to this person. You've moved on, and God is doing something new in your life. Hallelujah. Some of you got that. That's good. Okay. How about this number three, unfair losses and brutal treatment? I need to tell you this much. We must count the cost for following Jesus. You will suffer loss for following Jesus. You say, what? Some people that were the closest to you, if you really bona fide give your heart over to Jesus, they are G-O-N-E gone. They want nothing to do with you because they like the old you better than the new you. So if you're going that way, we just can't be friends. Really? Let me help you with this. We must counsel, no amount of loss can compare to what we have gained by giving our soul to the Lord. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How about this one? To suffer or suffer because of Jesus will bring us heavenly rewards. What does that mean? You say heavenly rewards. Are you doing it? Are you in it for all the heavenly rewards? Not really. Just knowing Jesus is enough. Just to be known by him is enough. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I have a couple more things and we'll be done for the day. Sorrow and resentment over having been cheated or defrauded. This is a big one, so be very careful. Listen to this. Many times we as believers, live under the cloak of denial. Oh, I'm okay. That really didn't bother me. I'm okay. When you are lying, you're not okay. You're mad. Or you're hurt. Or you're resentful. And it's hard to hide those things because as much as you think you've got this happy face on, we can see past that. Here's how it works. We must realize that we came to this world with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. I was reading an article the other day from the Gates Foundation. Melinda and Bill Gates, in the last few years, have given away $38.2 billion. I said, what? They could give me a little million, I'd be one happy person. That's your problem. When you said that, it tells me there's a point of dissatisfaction that you believe that you're entitled to have something that you don't have. You say, well, wait, wouldn't you want $1 million? That's not the point. The Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with discontentment is a mess. Because you're waiting for the lottery to come. You're waiting for that dead relative that you didn't know anything about to give you that check. And they'll say, oh, Jesus, thank you. Ha, oh, glory to God. I knew it was coming. Thank you. Shout now. Everything you're supposed to have right now, you have it. And if Jesus isn't enough, honey, I can't help you. Will God bless you in the future? He can. And if he doesn't, he's still good. Oh, Lord. When we count it all joy, we have broken free from the chains of entitlement and the desire for things in this life to satisfy our soul. Well, I'm going to address those two fellows that we talked about that kind of kept Peter captive. Number 5 says, doubt and unbelief in God. You say, wait a minute, I thought we're all believers here. Nope. Mm-mm. You say, what? Is it possible to know God and not believe God? Absolutely. We can believe God for salvation, but some of us cannot believe him for provision. That's the reason why you're working 2 jobs. Yeah, that's right, oh my. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus, thank you. You're killing yourself trying to keep that car in the driveway. Oh, work with me, people. It's going to get ugly, so you can't leave now because everybody knows, okay? But you're working for those things that the moth can destroy. I mean, do whatever you want to do, but here, let me help you with this. Bondage is about how we medicate the pain in our life. And some of us medicate the pain in our life by buying stuff. I'm going to get to you druggies in a minute, so hold on. But I want to get to the nice people first. Suppose the nice. Oh, I just couldn't live without. Oh, I just got such a deal on it. Oh, honey, I just can't even tell you how much it feels. And we feel so much better with our Prada bag, with our Gucci shoes. Come on, work with me. All of a sudden, we went up a notch. Now, your bank account went down to below whatever it is. Oh, help me with it. Come on, don't look at me like I'm crazy. But something in you felt better. And I want to tell you that something in you felt better for what you did there. That's not the right thing. It's a bondage to something you don't need in your life. And I don't care, you'd probably get a Corvette. I don't care what you get. But you know better because you got it. Somebody believes me today. Anybody believe that? The rest of you need healing. Unbelief is a tool of the devil that is effectively used when our prayers seem to go unanswered. Here, let's do it in a frame it in scripture. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I need to break it down for all of us. Effectual prayer means prayers that are done in the will of God. Effectual. But that we're regarding iniquity. The Bible says if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. So if you're mad at somebody, or if you're bitter at someone, or you've got unresolved differences, your prayers are going about as far as your lips can carry them. And that's it. But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word that we'll have trouble with is the word availeth. You say, sounds like a nice word. I mean, some of you read us, the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men are going to get you to the throne before everybody else's. Not. No, they're weighed in the balance. And God takes note of them. But you know what? I'm going to give you just a real simple analogy here. When Joseph was in prison as a result of being, you know, captured there, being thrown there by his brothers and this type of thing, he prayed to get out. He worked his gifts, and somebody else got out, and he stayed in jail a little bit longer, but he used his gifts to get someone else out. And don't you know he wasn't happy about that? But what? Let me help you with this. But a few years later, he was the ruler over the whole country. You know what we need to learn how to do? Wait. That's that availeth part. That means it's going to work on you until God feels like you're ready to accept it. Of the availing part is, if I can use a different word, travaileth much. They're in the same category. It's part of a process. I'm going to do one more for you, then worship you can make your way up here, and that helps me quit. Death of a vision of what you thought your life was going to be like. I'll continue on with this in next week or so. Just look at me for a moment. How many of you are living your dream right now? Don't raise your hand. You know what? Because other people will be scared. Everything that you wanted from God, everything place you thought you'd be, the number of kids, the amount of money, all those things, everything's just in perfect alignment. Until something happened. And something died. Death of a vision of what you thought your life was going to be like is really tough. But I want to let you know what happened with Peter. When he first was brought out of bondage, he couldn't believe it. Until he got on the outside of the situation. This must be a vision, because I saw myself dying in jail. I saw myself never getting out. The first part of this message says that Peter was in prison, but there were people praying for him to get out. But in the midst of them praying for him to get out, he didn't have the faith to know that what he was experiencing, even though people were praying, he didn't know whether it was real or not. Some of us are so miserable, that when we see ourselves coming out, we can't even believe it's happening to us. What can I say to you? All vision and purpose comes from the Lord. And the Bible says when we seek the Lord and his kingdom, all the things that we need will be added to us. Today, I want to restore, the Holy Spirit wants to restore vision to people in the house. Are you ready? That's a yes or no question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Everybody bow your heads. Everybody. I want to talk to you about promises from God. The Bible says, I want would that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Prosperity is contingent upon where your soul is right now. And if your soul has satisfaction in Jesus, the limits are off. God will do and perfect those things concerning you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I feel in the spirit to prophetically say some things to some people here today. Listen to me carefully. You will never be successful in the things and the gifts that God has given you until you're willing to surrender everything to him. Right now, you're relying on your talent, your influence. But if people really knew how afraid and how fragile you are inside, they would run away from you. And some of you are at the breaking point as they said, Pastor, I can't pull this off any longer. I'm tired, I'm beat up, I'm weary. I'm losing it. Just leave your heads bowed for a moment. I'm speaking specifically to someone here who has tragically found themselves under the oppression of the enemy. And when I say oppression, I need to use the word, and I use it very sparingly and very carefully, depression. And every depressed person is not in a mental institution, nor are they on medication. But the thing about it is your down days are more than your good days, your up days. And some of you cry yourself to sleep because of the disappointment and the pain that you're experiencing. You say, how do I know this? Jesus told me that. But he says today is your day of freedom. There's another group of people here that you are lamenting. You are mourning over the failures that you have had. And I'm going to say that word here, just keep your heads bowed, over sexual misdeeds. It wasn't always with somebody. It's some way that you've allowed the enemy to enter into that fragile part of your body, and you've misused God's gift in your life to a degree where you've just become gratifying yourself. And you've repented over and over again, and somehow you feel like, I'll never be free from that. In the name of Jesus, be free. Every person that's here, we have plenty of time before the picnic starts. But the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do business with the Lord. I'm going to find out who I've got here. Some of you need to accept Jesus. Others of you need to be set free. If that's you, stand to your feet right now. Stand up right now. Don't wait for somebody else. You stand up. Let Jesus work in your life. Go ahead. Don't wait for anybody else. You do what needs to be done. That's right. You stand up right now in Jesus' name. Other women here today, you need to stand up right now in Jesus' name. I curse the devil in your life. You don't have to stay under that bondage any longer. Stand up in Jesus' name. Come on. That's right, in Jesus' name. Come on, begin to intercede right now. There are other people right now in the throes of what God is doing. In the name of Jesus, I command the enemy to take his hand off you. Stand up in Jesus' name. 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 There are more. There's five more people that need to be standing right now. Stand up in Jesus' name. Stand up in Jesus' name. I command you in the name of Jesus. Stand up. I command you in the name of Jesus. Stand up. There's two more people. There's one. There's where's the other person? In Jesus' name. Do it now. Thank you very much. I will not let the devil win. Because you stood up, you are going to be set free today.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Before we move out this direction, I want my ministry workers to come up front right now. Carolyn, you other folks, come stand front right now. All my ministry workers, come right now. In Jesus' name, come right now. Do not hesitate. Come right now. Because God is going to do some miraculous things in this house today. I want you folks that are standing in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come down. There are probably other people that will join you. But you've been the kind of the ones who have opened up this avenue for other folks to come. But expect God to do miraculous things in the name of Jesus. Everyone stand your feet. You that are standing right now, come right now. Step out right now. Step out right now. Come right now. Come, 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 come.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.